I'm going to say something that is an opinion of mine as I've seen the technology wave come. I think we've gone through different stages. I think there was a first wave of the first try at BIM many years ago. Nobody understood it. Nothing happened. Everybody thought it was like this thing that was done separately from the project because the owner asked for it. So it didn't really change anything. The second wave of technology, in my opinion, it was about project management tools. So better tools to handle your budget, your schedule, your deficiencies, and all project management practices. So technology largely has been, until recently, all about the office personnel, how they can progress a schedule faster, do processes that matter more to the office than the field.
Welcome to Building Connections, presented by IPEX. In each episode, we delve into the world of construction, exploring how key leaders in the space shape the infrastructures of tomorrow. Discover the stories behind the solutions that impact municipal, commercial, and residential projects across North America.
Welcome to Building Connections, the podcast by IPEX, where we explore the people and ideas shaping the future of construction and infrastructure. I'm your host, Greg Blackett. Today's guest is Alex Ramirez, who's the Director of Construction Technology at PCL Construction, who's one of the most innovative builders in North America. Alex brings deep experience in the field of technology, digital transformation, and helps bridge the gap between traditional construction and the future of the job site. Alex, welcome to the show.
Very happy to be here.
So we got to start off with your role and how you got into the construction business and a PCL. I always find these really interesting journeys. Let's hear a little bit about your journey.
Yeah, actually, it is a really nice story that I enjoy telling about how I started and what I was doing. When I joined PCL in 2009, I joined as a field quality coordinator. And when I joined PCL, I was very interested because construction technology was not a thing yet. So some of the tasks that I was taught how to use is how to send RFIs by email, which was very modern and innovative because just a few months before they were sending them by fax. And then another challenge that was presented to me was how I was going to track deficiencies. And the method that I was given was that I was going to print consultant reports, put them in binders. I would then cross or highlight the items as they were getting done. I would then organize completed reports and I would have to send them in packages to the consultants to let them know that deficiencies was done. And I immediately thought there has to be a better way. I think that was my first incursion into technology and construction. I put forward the use of Excel to track the deficiencies and it led into other things. But I started my career in quality. I started at Centennial Place, a major project in Calgary. And I grew from a field quality coordinator to a project quality coordinator, eventually a project quality manager, district quality manager, and then corporate quality manager. But always along my career, since that first exploration of Excel for deficiencies, I always was looking at what can we do here in a very traditional industry to make things better, right? Quality in particular is a field that lends itself for a lot of opportunities. So PCL is really means it when they say that we want our people to be innovative. And I always found doors rather than barriers when I had ideas like that, right? Excel turned into SharePoint. Then we eventually acquired BIM 360 Field Classic and whatnot. And I was always given the opportunity to help make those decisions, suggest the ideas, roll out the tools. And it just is a journey that grew into transitioning from being just focused on quality and delivering quality programs and technology to then being trusted with what we call at PCL an integrated construction services team in Calgary, where I was responsible for leading a group of subject matter experts in engineering for our temporary works, quality, scheduling, virtual construction, and lean. So I did that for a few years. And then in 2021, because of all my strong opinions and involvement and contributions to our technology strategy at PCL, I was asked if I would take this role of Director of Construction Technology in Edmonton.
Great. Yeah. So it's a great insight. And you mentioned deficiency report. And when I think about technology and construction, that's a good example where I think some of the earliest technology laptop tablets were based on fixing that. But what's your journey like inside the company? So you're driving change, you've got new technology, new ideas, you have to introduce them. How do you do that? You got to get buy-in. What's that process look like? Do you try some things first, let it fail, and then test things out? What's that process look like?
It's changed a lot, at least in my experience and at BCL. I think the journey has changed a lot over the last 10 years. Back in the day, introducing a technology was not only a challenge for adoption or learning and those things. It was a challenge in culture, right? You were in front of a very traditional organization, and I've talked with peers, and it was the same case for a lot of my peers in other big companies. It was just even selling on the idea of that something digital could make an existing process that had been done that way for years and years better. So the beginning of the journey in implementing technology was about a culture transformation, in my opinion. So it was a wave of that for many years. Eventually, the technology wave came when a major shift in the construction technology industry and when all the investment started to drop. By that time, the culture was different. I remember when I was implementing BIM 360 Field Classic, for example, at that time, we're kind of like a little ahead in that journey. And it was more about if the tool was going to help or make things more complicated. Now we're going to see all these deficiencies. And me trying to convince the teams the deficiencies were always there. Now we have a better way to handle them. A different example is when PCL introduced electronic plan rooms. Before there were any products to do electronic plan rooms, we came up with our own Frankenstein process for how to set up drawings, handle them in Bluebeam, but then how to make them be available for everybody on the field through iPads and whatnot. Again, the first times we did it, projects would not agree to not have a paper planner. They would have to have a table. So the culture shift was hard. Then it was about, okay, now there's buy-in. The culture changed, right? Over the years, like I would say like the second, like 3 years, there were like 3-4 years of culture change. And then we were in transition. It was more about, okay, so people are agreeing to support this implemented. Now is how do you deploy these big changes from a pilot or a few projects that tested it and made it successful? Now, how do you deploy it across multiple projects in multiple cities? And how do you do that effectively? So there was a lot of intentionality in doing face-to-face rollouts and communication. And it was very interesting that some offices, some projects would be very receptive and very ready, others not as much, but again, different stage. And I was very pleased about 3 years ago, I was visiting superintendents that I met early in my career. And I thought in my mind, I was still had this mindset of I have to help them come along, help them adopt, help them lead their teams. And the conversation was not the same anymore. The conversation was about, I know technology now, I know what I need, and you're not giving me what I need. So very different conversation.
Yeah, that's interesting. And we see that with early people coming into the workforce, they almost expect the tools to help them do their job better. And if you take a look at the construction industry in general, where would you put it in terms of its adoption of tech? Is it behind? Is it in the middle? I think people often think it's slow to adopt new technology, but I'd like your opinion on that.
I think it was slow to adopt. I think we're entering a new era. And it's more about not the receiver. I think it's becoming more about the offering. I'm going to say something that is an opinion is of mine as I've seen the technology wave come. I think we've gone through different stages. I think there was a first wave of the first try at BIM many years ago. Nobody understood it. Nothing happened. Everybody thought it was like this thing that was done separately from the project because the owner asked for it. So it didn't really change anything. The second wave of technology, in my opinion, it was about project management tools. So better tools to handle your budget, your schedule, your deficiencies, and all project management practices. So technology largely has been, until recently, all about the office personnel, how they can progress a schedule faster, do processes that matter more to the office than the field. I would say that then the next phase that I would like to pitch that PCL was ahead of the game on this one is the site management. We now have tools that are very well known, like Plot. You probably are familiar with it. PCL, about 6-7 years ago, started the journey of our job site solutions, wherein there was nothing in the market like it. We started first with job site resourcing, where we identified the problem of big jobs having to book elevators or tower crane time or delivery space and whatnot. And you would have to use all sorts of tools that didn't fit the bill. And we came up with a tool that was intended for that purpose, job site access, to handle the access of personnel, or again, on big sites at first. And it's become a really standard access tool for us. But that's the wave I think we're in right now. Site management, right? A lot of opportunity in how a superintendent that is driving this big operation, what do they need to make that operation more efficient? And then I think what's next is AI and robotics. AI dropped on us, as we all know, and it's making big changes very quickly. Robotics is the other area where I think that the industry has been very dormant on. We have helped the office. We're starting to help the people that manage the site. We haven't helped the worker yet, right? So I think that's the next very important wave. I would say that, going back to your question, are we behind? I think we were. And I think we're quickly catching up. It's going to be amazing when robotics kicks in and we actually see the worker benefiting from technology other than to feed information to the office or the site.
Do you see any AI tools or robotics yet at PCL? Or is that just early and you're still getting your head around what to use and how you can leverage that tech?
We got in front of it immediately when it came out. We have been following it very closely. At the beginning, it was daunting. A lot of other companies will tell you that the first impact was sticker shock. It was like, well, what do you mean I have to give you my arm to do AI? I think that the vendors figured out very quickly that was not the right strategy. And once they made it more amicable and realistic, we started doing a lot of exploration. So we have already implemented some AI in some of our tools. We have an internal tool called PCL Navigator that consumes a lot of our user guide content and implementation guides and learning guidance and whatnot, and helps us better deliver our products. But we're also already exploring other ways in which we're going to use AI to improve our company.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be, I believe it's going to be standard in everyone's work. And it's interesting when you look at the construction industry, there's this cool ad I saw, you probably saw it too, a few months ago, where it was a skilled trade college and they're advertising the trade college and they're reminding the viewer that AI can't take your job because we always need people in the construction industry. And it's if the commercial jobs get commoditized and made redundant or more efficient by AI, there's still the very physical element of the construction industry, and that doesn't go away necessarily. So there's always, that's like the what people are referencing and how they're talking about it. But I think it's not really quite like that, because we always need people, and AI is really more to augment, you know, what they're doing. It's not 100% people-less, even robotics. And so I had an interesting conversation with someone last week where they're using, you said site planning, and one of the gaps was that we don't know what stage our job site's at relative to the schedule. We have a plan, we have a schedule. How do we use technology? And the example given was a bunch of cameras on the site looking up the job schedule and trying to use AI to reconcile the two. So just using the visual from the camera, matching it to the project schedule and seeing if there's a gap. That's done automatically now. So yeah, I think, you know, the example of job site that you gave, and that's just one example there. And so how about this world of Harry Potter? I don't know, I'm supposed to ask you about this, lessons from Harry Potter. You want to talk to me about that?
The reason we wanted to bring that up is that just how interesting milestones in the technology journey can be. Back in the day, many years ago, as we were building this project for Universal, we were, again, still very traditional, and technology was starting to become a thing at PCL. We've always been innovative, regardless of technology. And I think he was a field coordinator at that time, or a project engineer, Bill Bennington. He's now a colleague. A lot of people actually in the construction industry know him. He's a director of quality for, special director of quality for PCL, but also a very known technology innovator. He had the idea of how iPads could improve the access of documents in the field and just the completion of forms and things like that. If you think back to that time, and I don't remember the exact year, it was before any of that. It was when we all would carry, I used to have this special like binder case so that I could carry all of my checklists, whether they were completed or not, or just blank copies. And I would have my drawings in the back and my construction vest and things like that. And everybody had to do that. Everybody was updating their own drawings. Everybody was using paper forms and having to organize them and put them in different places. And the iPad became a really interesting differentiator because at first only a couple people trying them, but then it started to expand across that project. We're able to, okay, so I don't have to carry all this paper. I don't have to keep things up to date. I just need to put the right tools in this iPad so that I can carry tasks that normally would take me an hour. Now I can do them in 5-10 minutes more efficiently. Things get saved automatically. It became such a big thing that our president of US operations at the time and today still, Darren Brown, made a decision to challenge the process and mandate that every person that is working on a project in the field would get an iPad. Obviously, it caused a lot of controversy because, what do you mean? Some people are just going to use it as a paper holder, right? Come on. And maybe that was the case for a few people, but most people really embraced having that tool and it started to figure out ways to use the mobility of the iPad, which for us today is ubiquitous, right? Second nature. Right? I have an iPhone, I have an iPad, I have a laptop. But at that time, you had to think about, I'm going on to the field, what do I have to bring? And again, your set of drawings, and you printed a copy of this RFI because you need to respond, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It was all with you in this little device, right? So, yeah.
So talk to me about job site solutions. Okay, so what is it? How is it helping your teams? Like, touch on the safety element too, because I think that's really important.
Yeah. So I'll repeat a little bit of what I was sharing earlier. About 7 years ago, PCL realized that there was an opportunity to move beyond helping project management with technology to helping our site management with technology. And so the first challenge that we tackled was multiple larger projects. PCL started to build, went from the 50 to the 100 to the $150 million jobs to 500 and whatnot. And the bigger the job, the bigger the logistics challenges. And we saw an opportunity with bookings, where normally we would adapt, the average innovator would adapt some sort of a SharePoint calendar or other tools to try and tackle the challenge, but never getting it right, people not understanding it, the UI wasn't speaking to them. We created our own product, Job Site Resourcing, that allowed a site to organize all their bookable resources and then have a mobile app that anybody that needed to book those resources would have access to, look whether it's available or not, reserve it, allow the other site to approve or not. You could also plan to have blackout periods if you need to move a lot of material with your targets, et cetera, right? So we solved that problem. We then went to solve the access problem. Again, big jobs. You need to make sure that only the right people are going into site. You want to make sure that people are getting their orientations done before they access, that they get the right training, that they have the right tickets to operate equipment. So that's where the opportunity started. We started to do it really well. We then realized that it was also a productivity tool because we were able to understand at any moment in time how many people were on site for which trades. So no more, hey, yeah, of course my 25 people are on site. We knew that there were 15. And it became very powerful for us to manage those large projects where maybe on a mega project, you need to have 17 crews of 5 drywallers working all over your project. And you could know at any moment if you only had a fraction of that. We also developed Job Site Insights, which is an IoT platform. It has allowed us to tackle a lot of risks. We created our own IoT platform to bring different sensors from different manufacturers to address things like ensuring the right temperature, moisture or humidity, noise, vibration. We have since evolved that platform, and a PCL company called Adium takes care of that. And it's expanded the offering into security systems that are very construction specific. And it has created a lot of opportunity for us to understand the conditions on site, address challenges proactively, ensure that we're meeting our client expectations. And then another one that is like an offspring of job site resourcing is job site transport. Again, a lot of our vertical sites or even horizontal ones have the challenge of booking an elevator. Job site resourcing allows the project to book it for a specific material delivery, but you have the workers that need to go up and down all the time. So what job site transport does is that it gives the operator like a management tool for them to manage where they need to go next in the up and down. If there's a delivery book to GSR, it tells them what to go. But if someone and a worker needs to go somewhere, they can open their mobile app. Any worker on site, book, say that, hey, I need to go up. And the app manages all of those requests, just an elevator would do on the building. And then people can get in into the right floors. And it makes it really efficient. People are not waiting endlessly to see if eventually the skip is going to stop on their floor. It sounds like a small problem, but it actually, we've heard from our subcontractor partners that they're seeing a lot of efficiency in their people not waiting around for moving up and down a building, right? Yeah.
What advice, given your experience, would you give other leaders looking to start technology into the construction industry and essentially do what you've been doing, assessing new technologies and implementing them throughout the organization?
Something we've been doing recently for the last couple of years is that we've really taken a very hard look at the integration between the process that the technology supports and the technology itself. In our journey of construction, we grew our technology stack very organically, but it meant that we went from having three tools, right? When I started at PCL, I had to learn a scheduling software and a couple other tools, and that was it. And now the technology stack is almost 100 products big, right? Not everybody uses everything, but someone touches 5 to 15 in a day, right? Depending on the role and their project size and all of that, right? But we start to realize that it's not about the technology and how cool it is and what it can do if it doesn't support our process, right? So we've gone through this effort of making sure that we align the different SMEs that own the process in the company with the technology that supports their process. So we've been in this journey, we call it technology governance, where we have been aligning those groups. We have been establishing the different processes that they will follow to update their stack. But they need to change a tool or add a tool or remove a tool, depending on what their business goals are for that business process, right?
And do you think that technology changes process as well? Can it push on the process and make you rethink the way things are done today is not the way they're going to be done tomorrow?
Yes, actually, that's an awesome question. Yes. But I think that when that happens without the awareness and understanding that this is our process today and we want technology to support it, if you just bring tools just because it sounds like they're good, it may transform you in the direction that you didn't intend, right? If you have that awareness first and then a tool presents you an opportunity to do things better or different or faster, and you look at it in the contrast of your understanding of your process today, I think it really enhances the opportunity to deliver value. If you do it just in isolation, oh, this looks cool and smoke and mirrors. We are concerned about when people get distracted just because the tool looks cool. They don't really understand how they're supposed to be doing it today.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
A lot of examples, and these are all fantastic. And we could probably spend a couple more hours going through all the things you're doing. Is there anything else you'd want to maybe highlight or talk about, something we haven't touched on?
We have a couple other projects. I'm not going to go into the same level of detail, but we also have job site staffing, which allows a company to plan their staff on projects at a higher level and then assign them to the projects. Yeah, and I think I'm not forgetting anymore.
Okay. This has been good, Alex. Much appreciate your time and your insights at PCL. Looking forward to talking to you in the future and seeing what new and exciting things you guys continue to roll out. Thanks, Alex.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Building Connections. You can find links to all of the resources mentioned in today's episode in the show notes. If you're finding value in our podcast, please take a moment to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. It really helps us connect with more listeners like you. Don't miss out on future episodes. Keep listening and building connections with us.